Open your word to us, and Lord, just encourage us by it. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for, Lord, what a gift it is to your church and to your body. And may it be a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. Amen. Amen. I was just thinking today and just reading, remind this great verse in Titus, not where I want to preach from today, but it says, when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out richly upon us through Jesus our Savior. Just reminded again lately in my own personal life, may encourage to you what we're talking about today, that everything that God does is because He's merciful, right? And there's a thing in us that we just, the enemy's always after. If we feel like we failed or don't deserve, or we deserve this, the Lord's always reminding us again and again that everything He does in our life is because of His great mercy toward us. That we never really deserve anything, right? And that because of His great mercy. I couldn't really sleep much last night, and I was up just reading a lot in the first chapter of the book of 1 Peter. The Lord just speaking, reminding me of just some good stuff. Starting in verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia and Asia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with His blood, and may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we've been talking a lot about the resurrection here. Of course, the bishop said throughout the whole Easter season, he'll be talking about the resurrection. But I really began to pray last night and early this morning. And just the Lord reminded me again, that's how important that is, what the resurrection brought to us, is that we're born again to something, to a living expectation or living hope. And how different our lives would be if every day we lived in constant expectation of hope, right? And I could only think about my own life. You know, just Lord, that's somewhere I would always pray to be and would love to be, that if I just lived in just a constant expectation. Then the truth is, that's what we've been born again to, right? We've been born again to this living hope through the resurrection. That's what happened at the resurrection. You and I have been born again to something, to this awesome thing. So what's supposed to be going on in our hearts and lives at this very moment is the living hope. Living expectation of the goodness of God, His mercy, that God is going to do everything He's ever spoken to you and promised to you, that His favor is on your life, all that good stuff, right? So we all know that's where the battle is. And sadly, that's not where I live all the time. But that's where I want to be. And so that's what we were talking about early this morning. That was in verse 3. So to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus. 2, an inheritance which is imperishable, which is undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in the heavens for you. That word reserved is that guarded, that God is guarding them in the heavens for you. So this is not like a when you go to heaven one day word. This is like a right now word. When He wrote to them, He was writing to these people a right now word that they needed to hear. Of course, you've heard me say this so many times in the people he was writing to, Peter was writing to, they were enduring a lot of persecution. And so he was writing to them, they needed a right now word, right? You ever needed a right now word? They needed a right then, right now word. And so this was the word he was giving them, this living hope word that they had, and they were born again to not only a living hope, but to an inheritance that was guarded for them, and something imperishable that God was guarding in the heavens. As Jesus said, the kingdom of God is right here. So he was saying, everything that God has for you, inheritance, everything, hasn't been taken away from you. It's right here for you to experience. Who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And again, they all thought they were in the last time, just like we did. And in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the genuineness or the proof of your faith, again, familiar verses, which is more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in the praise, in the glory, and the honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And this is the verse that really I've read 100 times, and that really got me, this next one. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but you believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Right? Again, that was just think about this as a now word for them and a now word for you. When he said, though you've not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but you believe in him, and you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory, and the outcome of your faith is going to be your own salvation or your own deliverance, right? And sometimes in the midst, just like they were, it's when you're in the midst of a fiery ordeal, as it uses that in the book of 1 Peter also, you just don't seem to see him clearly, right? You ever been a place like that? You just don't seem to hear as good. You don't see him, but you do love him, right? You do know that you love the Lord. And that's what he's saying. You guys, you love him. And though you don't see him, you know you love him. And though you don't see him right now, you believe in him. And what's going to happen as the outcome of that is a salvation of your souls. But also in the midst of that, what happens is the joy inexpressibles, which he talks about, right? And that's what I've been praying for in my own personal life. But without understanding that we've been born again to a living hope, then I'm not going to experience this joy inexpressible, right? So it's a reality for all of us that the Lord wants us to really enter into, okay? But to be encouraged in that, not to be discouraged in the midst of whatever you're going through, if you don't think that you are having the same experience someone else may be having, that something is wrong, because that may not be true at all, right? The important thing is what he's encouraging them is that if you can't see him, just love him, right? And as you love him, I believe it's a real sequence of things he's talking about. As you love him and you are believing in him in the midst of a fiery ordeal in your life, then his gift to you, what will begin to happen in your life, is this living hope will begin to come alive in you. And again, I say this all the time, what Satan fears is a joyful Christian more than anything, right? And rarely, Bishop said it and I said it too, and rarely do we see a believer who just really walks in the joy of the Lord all the time. And that is really where I want to be. And that's with my conversation with the Lord earlier. So, Lord, I just want to be walking in your joy. And I found myself over the last couple of weeks not doing that. And in the book of Mark, one of the things it says, Mark chapter 4, just really a verse when it's talking about the seeds being sown, the different soils, is to be careful what you hear. Be careful what you're entertaining in your ears, right? Because what you entertain and the voices that you're entertaining in your ears will determine where you are in this, what we've been reading here, where you are in your experience, in your joy in the Lord, right? And I had just been entertaining a lot of voices that I didn't need to be entertaining, right? Of the enemy coming in and in the midst of that, and just putting a lot of anxiety and stress and fear. And I was just listening to it, right? Y'all ever been there? And so and the Lord just, again, woke me up. I was like 2 in the morning. I just finally got up and just went and sat in my chair and just began to, you know, pray and just read over this stuff. And the Lord just began to just really encourage me with this, you know, and really begin to speak truth. And again, and just all those voices just kind of went away and just dispelled them. And just really encouraged me with this, you know, and said, you know, Craig, and when you're in the midst of something and you just can't seem, you know, especially if you're dealing with if you're dealing with pain or whatever, and you can't seem to see or hear clearly, then do what it says here. Just love me. And believe in me. Believe that in the midst of this, that what I'm doing in you, what I see in you, I see your heart, and what I'm dealing with is something more precious than anything is your faith. And the outcome of this will be the salvation of your soul. And it'll result in the praise and the honor and the glory, which means the revelation. There'll be a greater revelation of Jesus in your life. Kind of simple, right? But really true when we find ourselves there. Okay? So real simple word to you. If you're in a somewhere there, just simply, as he said, if you can't see him now, love him. Right? Believe in him. Trust that that he's got it. That he's got you, and that and he's doing it absolutely just right in your life. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.